Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Coming in this morning, welcome to Healing Center. Why don't we stand to our feet? You'll be sitting for a while. So why don't we stand to our feet and just begin to lift up our hands to God and thank Him for His goodness to us today. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for what we're about to receive, the incorruptible, indestructible, living Word of God. Father, we thank You today as we approach You by faith and through the blood of Jesus and in Christ. We thank You for these realities that gives us free access into the throne of grace, where which we receive everything that was willed by God. Help Your people, help us all to see it. Help me to communicate it, oh God. And we thank You for the help of the Holy Ghost that would make it real in the hearts and lives of people, that each person confesses and receives what You have done for them, including healing and learning to apply it and walk in it in the freedom where which Christ has set us free. And be not entangled again into any yoke of bondage. So for all of this, we give You praise, glory, honor, and thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at a neighbor and say, you're about to receive from God today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We want to welcome everyone today to Healing Center. Amen. Where you come. And it's an hour of teaching concentrated along the line of faith and healing. Amen. And so we live in a fallen world, and one of the things that you and I are going to have to learn to do is how to appropriate, that means to receive to ourselves, the healing power of God. Having to know He's not the great I was, He is still the great I am. There was never a day of miracles. There's always been a God of miracles. And so that means that that healing is still the will of God. And we can learn to walk in that. And if things come against us, we can learn to receive from God and even learn to resist and from our stand of faith, which we're talking about today. So we want to welcome everyone. I want to especially welcome everyone online today. I think we should put our hands together for them as well as for everybody here this morning. Amen. Pastor Debbie sends her love. And praise God. I've got this week and next week, and then Pastor Debbie will be back. Praise the Lord. And it'll be good, I believe. Don't forget, tonight at 7, Pastor Debbie will be picking up this week and next week once again on prayer, and it'll be good. This is why I'm here. And so today we're reminded that we've been doing a series entitled The Good Fight of Faith. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles once again to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and this is where we find this phrase at. Today, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, as well as all those online, as well as those online leaving a comment. It's always good for me to be able to go back and see who's there and who's leaving comments and so on and so forth. I believe that it will help. But as we take notes and we go back over them, you know, the one reason we take notes is not just to waste ink and paper. We take notes so that we have something that we can go back and look at and study from, just like we would a book, just like we have our Bible. And although sometimes I see comments, not necessarily online from us at all, but I watch some things sometimes and I see people make comments, well, the only thing you need to read is the Bible. Well, I would say this, the only thing you need to put first is the Bible. But there's other good books that many times without it explaining what the Bible teaches, and you have in Revelation through those books, many people leave the same way they came, confused. Not because the Bible is a confusing book, but their words paint pictures, and people, God has given people to the body of Christ to help further explain. And God uses people and the Holy Spirit to take the scripture and explain them. So yes, first and foremost, we need the Bible, but we also need good books and teachers who further explain what the Bible is bringing to pass. So this is why I say it's good to take notes, because you can go back and refer to those notes. It could be one thing that I say, one thing that is said, or as or more important, something the Holy Spirit has said to you about what is being said, something you heard the Spirit of God say that you write down. And without writing down, many times you forget those things. And by writing them down, you can go back, rehearse, review, and renew your mind on those things. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to be in Christed. That's what I'm calling it, what it means to be in Christed. And we want to continue the Good Fight of Faith series by looking at the foundational scripture we've been looking at, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. Now, don't forget, notice again the phrase, it's called the good fight of faith, or it's actually a faith fight, not a devil fight. You know why it's not a devil fight? Because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. And although he's certainly a foe that does oppose us, he is still, and he opposes us because he's still the little g God of this fallen world system. And we will certainly have to still resist him and exercise authority over him. And so, but it's called, notice, a faith fight, not a devil fight. And we slide forward, we put that up, we found this. This means that I'm not fighting to defeat Satan. I know he already is. Amen. And I'm just using or exercising my authority over him and his works in my life. As a believer, we have authority over him, and we must know how to use it. We got to get this part straight. We're not trying to fight to defeat Satan. Jesus has already defeated him for us. What we're doing is learning to use and exercise the authority that we have as believers over him. The reason the devil wins over us is either through our ignorance or our consent. In other words, our ignorance of not knowing what it means to have authority and using our authority, or just consenting to the fact that by not doing nothing. In other words, by not using. So either we don't know or we don't use what we know. So I want to remind us today really clearly of when we receive that authority. Did you know when you receive that? See, sometimes we think that we got that authority when we get to some spiritual mountain in our spiritual journey. But we got it the moment we got in Christ. We got it the moment we became born again. We got it the moment we got saved. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, everybody say received him, as many as received him, that's talking about Jesus Christ, to him he gave power to become the sons of God. The word power there is the Greek word exousia, which means, is translated all through the New Testament, authority. Authority is delegated power. It means the permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another, in this case, Jesus himself. So the word authority is delegated power, and that's what we've been, that's what we have been granted with. It's the legal right and the legal might. It combines those two arrows, the legal right and the legal might, to exercise authority over the devil and his works. This is why Jesus reminded every disciple before he ascended to the right hand of God Almighty. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, he said this, "In my name, these signs shall follow them that believe," or the believing ones, "in my name they shall cast out devils." So notice the very first assignment, the very first order that he gave us as believers is that we would exercise authority over the devil. So I'm just letting us know we don't have to get to some spiritual crescendo in order to exercise authority over the devil. The moment we get saved or get born again, the littlest part of the body of Christ has as much authority over the devil as the biggest part of the body of Christ. Come on. We have the same authority. So it's called the good fight. Everybody say fight. It's called the good fight of faith because the word fight illustrates the strenuous effort the believer sometimes has to exert to stay in faith. How many know you're going to have to stay in faith, or as we have said, or it's the stand of faith that we must take against the enemy. That stand of faith, write this down. We've looked at this before, but it's worth bearing repeating. You can go back and look at it again. This stand of faith we find mentioned four times in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. It tells us that we have to stand therefore, and withstand the enemy. Amen. So the good fight of faith is learning how to take the stand of faith on God's word, being unmoved by anyone or anything that would try to throw us off or move us from our stand of faith on the Word of God. You know, there is a stand of faith on the Word of God. And there are going to be people and circumstances and situations and unseen forces especially that try to wrestle or throw us or sway us or move us or get us to take our step from that place of faith. And this is exactly what it's talking about. The fight of faith is the strenuous effort that we must take to remain in faith. No matter what is said, no matter how we feel, no matter what it looks like, or no matter what our position comes our way, it's the stand of faith that we must learn to take on the Word of God. So slide 5 tells us this. This really helps us here. So I'm not fighting for the victory, but actually from a place of or with the victory I already possess in Christ. This is so important for us to, I mean, it's easy to say, but it's so important that we get our hearts wrapped around this statement. So I'm not actually fighting for the victory, but actually from a place of or with the victory I already possess in Christ Jesus. Because what I'm saying is, and letting us know this, that God sees and says that Christ's victory is our victory. Isn't that right? So really, the fight of faith that we are in, or the stand of faith that we must take, is far from our place in Christ or our identity in Christ. Can I get amen? Praise the Lord. So our identity, when I say our place in Christ or identity in Christ, is very important for us to understand. That's what we've really been learning about. For many weeks, even though we've been repeating this, I think it's so important because we have really been learning how to do this, or learning about what the Bible calls our identification with Christ, or that just simply means our identity in Christ or our new identity in Christ. When I say our identification with Christ, I mean our new identity in Christ, or you could say taking our place in Christ. We must take our place in Christ. No one can take your place in Christ for you. And it's a place that already belongs to you in the Spirit. It's a place you take. It's the stand of faith that you understand that you identify yourself with Jesus Christ because of what God has already done for us in and through Jesus Christ. So what we have found is through salvation, we get in Christed. This is why I'm calling today what it means to be in Christed. Because the moment we get saved, we actually get in Christed. God puts us in Christ. And through our new spiritual union with Him, we become new creations. And we receive a new spiritual identity. And we become one in Christ, or one with Jesus Christ, where now God sees us and treats us, and Christ treats us in Christ as one and the same. It's called the power of identification. Amen. And so I used this last time, and I had people to say and reminded me how helpful it was. So we're going to use this again. Say, we know this, that say this is Christ. This is who Christ is. This is just an illustration. This is who Christ is. Let's say this is who we are. We know all of mankind, God either sees in Adam through your natural birth. This was us outside of Christ. This is how we look to God. In other words, say this is our identity in Adam. He sees every person in humanity, all human form, either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. You get in Adam. You get in Adam. So what I actually need is, let's say, another bucket. So what we'll do is, without me losing this, this is Adam. We got put in, through our natural birth, we got put in Adam. Okay? And this is Christ. All humanity is either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So God had a predicament. What happened was when man sinned, the original man, Adam, sinned, all humanity was in him. All humanity sinned, and therefore all humanity, what was in Adam, passed on all to all men. So all men in Adam died as well. And in Adam, we are identified. This is how God sees us. This is who we have become. We either in Adam or we're in Christ. So God had a predicament, but having to know nothing's too different for God. So what God wanted to do is everything He wanted for man, He actually put in Christ. And then what He had to do is get us out of Adam and into Christ. So what God did through the new birth is the moment we, through the death, burial, resurrection, God, through Jesus Christ, laid all of man's sin, all the curse, all sickness, amen, He put it all on Christ. Christ bore it away through the death, burial, resurrection, through the death and burial. Through the resurrection, God raised Christ brand new. Amen. And what God did was the moment, and through the gospel, we can find out that it was through what Christ did that you and I could be saved. We think it's just salvation. But what everything that God did in Christ, He did it for us. And so the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we get out of Adam and we get put into Christ. In this place, we have been joined to Christ. We become actually in a spiritual union or communion with Christ, whereby we receive a brand new identity, whereby whatever is true about or in Christ is now true in and about us because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. So this is why I make the statement, through salvation, we get in Christed. Remember I said, now when people see us, they actually see Christ. they actually see Christ. Or God sees Christ. God sees Christ, and he wants us to be in such Christ-like that what they hear from us represents Christ. Hallelujah. Because we've been put in Christ. Because the moment we got saved, we got what the Bible calls, we got in Christed. God put us in Christ, and now through our new spiritual union with him, we become new creations. You've heard me say that we're new creatures in Christ hundreds of times if you've been coming to the church in 20 years. But there's just because you know that you're a new creation, by what I just painted right here, paints a whole different picture about what it means to be in Christ. It is through the revelation of our understanding of what it means to be new creations that changes us. Amen. And so we become new creations, and we actually receive a brand new spiritual identity. And we become one in and one with Christ, where now God sees us and treats us and Christ as one and the same. Amen. And this is called the power of identification. What this does is this changes everything. And whatever that means, that whatever happened to us in life in Adam has been totally swallowed up and changed by what's happened to us in Christ if we learn and know and accept to walk in this new life in Christ. See, it's true whether we walk in it or not, but the reality of it becoming a theory. Right here, what I'm talking about is a truth that we could call theory, or we could call a positional truth. When we have revelation in it and begin to apply it in our life, it becomes experiential truth. And that's where we actually experience the victory. Because we take what God has said to us and fight from this place in Christ, and our faith lives it out in a way which we actually experience the victory that belongs to us in our place in Christ. Does that make sense to us in here today? So this is why this is so important, and this is why I believe it's worth repeating week in and week out, and adding a little bit of layer again, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is how we have a deeper understanding, appreciation for, a deeper understanding, and the deeper our revelation is, the deeper the application of it can be. So by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God puts us where? In Christ. We get taken out of Adam, where we experience spiritual death. We get put into Christ, where we have eternal life, but we have so much more than eternal life. We have whatever's in Christ is now in us. Hallelujah. Because we're in him and he's in us. So by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God puts us in Christ. And it's through our union with Christ, we receive his identity. That's why it's called in Christ it. That means that we receive his identical life, amen, and identical nature. And this is why, let's look at some scriptures, and this just brings this home. And you know this, but I'm going to quote some of these from other translations, and I believe that it will drive this point home really well once again here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, or in Christ, that he is a new creature. So you are a new creature. You're not going to be a new creature when you get to heaven. You're not trying to be a new creature. You are a new creature. And this is the place you must fight from. Not for the victor, but from this place of victory. With it, not to get it. With it, not to get it. This is who you are. This is what you have. This is what you can do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, or in Christ, it, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I like how the Passion Translation says it. Says it like this. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ. You know, if you're enfolded into Christ, you know, if I took a piece of paper, I take this piece of paper right here. If I have my notebook I'm reading from today, this piece of paper, if I were going to send it as a piece of mail, I would have to enfold it. I would have to fold it, and enfolded it means that you put it in a way with which you place it into something else and seal it so it's contained in what you put it in. Envelope, okay? So this is what it means to be in Christ. God actually takes us and puts us in Christ, and we become new. Hallelujah. We become not only new, but because we're in union with Him, God sees us one of the same. When you see that piece of mail, that what you actually see is the envelope. You see Christ. You don't even see what's in it. Come on, you don't even see the note anymore. You see what the envelope is. And God sees us that way. God sees us in Christ. He don't see me differently than He sees Christ. Hallelujah. He don't see you differently than He sees Christ. Therefore, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he's become an entirely new person. So why you call yourself, why are you still calling yourself an old sinner saved by grace? Why do you call yourself stupid? Why do you call yourself something that hopefully you don't? I'm just asking the question to all the audience, not just those here today. But why you think, let me say it like this, why are you thinking yourself less than what God sees you or calls you in? You know why? Because our minds aren't renewed to this truth. We think they are. We've heard it hundreds of times possibly. But we have been conditioned by the world. We have been conditioned by years of wrong thinking, by years of opposition, by years of feeling, by years of everything that God told us not to judge ourselves by. We've been conditioned by years of things that happened to us so long ago that it hasn't happened in years, but it's as if in our minds it happened yesteryear, and we're still living under the shadow of that tyrannical thoughts and conditions, not because God didn't do something about it, but because we haven't done something about it in who we are in Christ. So if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he's become an entirely new person. Entirely new. What don't we understand about entirely new? I mean, entirely new. It's like God didn't recap, you know. You're not like a recap. You know what I'm saying? A recap tire is a tire they brought in and they just put more tread in on it. It's the same old tire with a retread. God didn't retread you. He remade you. He made you an entirely new person, and you're not the same person you used to be, according to God. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is new and fresh. I don't know how you can say it any better than that. Everything is new and fresh. Glory to God. So I love what the Living Bible translate 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 7, verse 17. You've seen this before. Last week we talked about this, but this is so powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Here's what it says. Praise the Lord. They're getting it for me. Okay. This is why the Lord said, 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians. We need 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting there. Amen. I could open my Bible and read it there, but they're gonna. But the one who joins himself to the Lord, when did you join yourself to the Lord? The moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, is mingled into one spirit with Him. Hallelujah! That's the Passion Translation. I need the Living Bible. I need the Living Bible, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! But if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person.
Woo!
If you give yourself to the Lord, when did you give yourself to? Anybody give themselves to the Lord? You did when you got born again. When you give yourself unto the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. That's how God sees you. You've been joined together as one. There is no difference. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. You're joined together as one person. So this is why this spiritual union, communion, this is why as a husband and wife becomes one flesh, we become one with Christ in the Spirit by making Him the Lord of our life. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. That's a pretty good deal. Having to know we got the butter end of the deal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's look at this. This is powerful. Galatians 2:20, the Passion Translation says it like this. Galatians 2:20, it says, "My old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of His cross crucified me with Him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives His life through me." We live in union as one. How can it get any clearer than that? We live as union as one. "For my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that He gave Himself for me and dispenses His life into mine." So the whole time that I'm in Christ, everything that's in Christ is continued to cascade or be dispensed into me. So you'll never outspend healing. You'll never outspend the prosperity that God has. In other words, everything that's in Christ keeps being dispensed in us. You'll never use it up because it's in Him, it's in us. Hallelujah. That means if you need a miracle yesterday and you need one today, you ain't spent all of God's miracle working power, because that miracle working power is still dispensed in and through Christ. Yes. Woo! That's some good news for us, ain't it? Galatians 3:3 in the Passion Translation says it like this. Look at this. Your new life. Everybody say, "My new life." Where's your new life at? In the Anointed One. The Anointed One is Christ, in Christ. Remember the word Christ means Anointed One. The Anointed One and His anointing. That's what the word Christ is. It's the word Messiah or Christ, the Anointed One. And so your new life is the Anointed One. Began with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit giving you a new birth. Your new life. That's when it was. Began when you get a new birth. Why would you, why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit by trying to finish by your own works? In other words, why are we going to try to get out of Christ and do it our way by the flesh? We look way better in Christ than we do in the flesh. We look way better in the Spirit or in Christ than we do in ourselves or in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read that again. Your new life in the Anointed One began with the Holy Spirit giving you a new birth. So we get this. The moment we get the new birth, we get put in Christ. And through our union with Him, we not only are joined to Him as one, we have a brand new identity. This is what this is saying. This is how God views us. This is how God sees us. This means we share. This means that through our union with Christ, we receive His identity, His identical life. This means we share Christ, His identical life, His identical righteousness, His identical triumph, His identical victory. This is what it means to be in Christ or identified with Christ, or what we could be calling today, what it means to be in Christed. That's good news for us. Isn't it good news? This is why the fight of faith or the stand of faith I must take is from the place of victory I already possess, because I'm in Christ. I'm not fighting to get this. I'm not fighting to get the victory. It's the fight or the stand I take in it or with it by. This is why we can read verses like this and it makes total sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 2 rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse. And I probably wrote it down wrong for them. I wrote that down wrong for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But I can quote it. Now thanks be unto God which always gives us the triumph in Christ. Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. The moment we get in Christ it, we always have the triumph. So we're fighting from this place of victory or this stand of faith, not trying to get it, but we're fighting with it. Not trying to get it. We're fighting in it or from it. With it. Praise the Lord. This is why 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there with me if you would, because we're going to look at three portions of Scripture within a chapter of each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 says it like this. It says, I'm talking too fast. 1 John chapter 5, I need Pastor Debbie here to say, slow down, love, praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Here's what it says. It says, for who whatsoever is born of God, that would be better translated, whosoever. Because you're not a whatsoever, you're a whosoever. Whoever has been born of God, and let me ask you this, when did we get born of God? In the new birth. You're not born of God. You're either born of God or you're either in Adam or in Christ. The only way you can get born in God is through this new birth, this spiritual birth. And whoever is born of God, it overcomes this world. Overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. So the moment we get born again, God views us as overcoming this world system. He says we already have. This is why 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says it like this. It says, you are of God, little children. In other words, when it says you are of God, you know what it means? It means you've been born of God. Because, see, you're either a child of the devil or the child of God. He's calling you a child of God here. You are of God. You've been born of God, little children, or sons and daughters of God. And have overcome them. And this is talking about in context, all that Satan has, actually it's in context is talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, the false teaching, the false doctrine, all the lies of the enemy and all that's connected to Satan in his Antichrist kingdom, which would include himself and all lying spirits, all spirits of deception, all false doctrine, and anything he would try to teach you that's contrary to who you are in Christ. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That this is not a trick question. Is have overcome past tense? Okay? That it means it's already done. God sees you, this is already true about you. It didn't say will be one day. It says have overcome them. You're not trying to overcome the fallen deceits of Satan and the evil. You have. If you're in Christ, because Christ has overcome them and you identify with Christ, as far as God's concerned, you have. You might not learned it yet, or you might not learn how to walk in it yet, but that doesn't change the fact that you are it. You have already overcome them. I wrote in my Bible, have already overcome them. Amen. And here's why. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, remember, he is not only in you, but you've been enfolded unto him. The only reason he's in you, because you're enfolded into him. You're one and the same. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Praise God. Because the moment you get put in Christ, the mystery of the gospel is as Paul said to the church at Colossae, chapter 1, verse 27, he says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the reason why Christ is in you is because you have been first put into Christ. Hallelujah. And now this echoes it that you are of God, little children, have already overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So through your union with him, you have a new identity. And through this place of in Christ that you have already overcome, because what of us true about Christ is true about you. This is why you, when you say I identify with Christ, you're saying what of us true about Christ is true about me. Remember, a person can say, I identify, they can be a man, they say, I identify with a woman. I identify as a woman. What are they saying? They're saying, I'm calling myself a woman. Now, we know that's foolish. But God said, the devil is just trying to copy what I have already done for every man in Christ. And you can actually say truthfully that I identify myself with Christ. And what that actually means is you may see Chris, but I'm saying that whatever's true about Christ is true about me. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Hallelujah, glory to God. Now, this takes on whole new meaning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You're already there in that chapter. Look at verse 17. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And look at this last phrase. Because as he is, this is talking about Jesus Christ, because as he is, so are who? We in this world. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Woo, glory to God. Now let me read it to you from several other translations. Are you ready? First of all, I'm going to say it again. As he is, so are we in this world. Here's what another translation says. So several say it like this. What he is, that we also are in this world. What he is. Whatever he is, we are in this world. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. That's how God sees us, in other words. Hallelujah. One translation says it like this. As he is, I'm like Christ in this world. I'm like Christ in this world. And then one translation says, I identify myself completely with Christ. Hallelujah. In other words, because as he is, I'm like Christ in this world, or because as he is, I identify myself completely with Christ. This is exactly what it's saying. I only fight for my position in Christ, which is a position, listen, a victory and possession. I say this every morning to myself. I fight from my position in Christ, which is a position of victory and possession, as well as righteousness and healing. That's where I fight from. I'm not fighting to become a new creature. I'm fighting from that place. I'm not fighting to become righteous and new. I am righteous and new. I'm not fighting for healing. I am the healed, and I'm standing from that place of healing. Hallelujah. In Christ, I am the healed. You are the healed. And the devil is trying just to make us sick, or to accept the sickness that he brings. See, you have to accept it. You have to accept it. And it doesn't mean that we're bad people because we've accepted it. It doesn't mean that we can't even be healed. But there's a big difference when we have this revelation that we're fighting from the victory and with the victory, not trying to get the victory. We are not the sick trying to be made well. We are the healed, and the devil is trying to make us sick. And we must exercise our authority, say no to what he's trying to do in our life, and stand against it in the place of faith, in the place of victory, in Christedness. Hallelujah, with which we already possess not only a new life, not only the identical righteousness and the identical triumph and victory, but the same identical healing that belongs to, that's in Christ because of what he won for us through the death, burial, and resurrection. So I am the healed, and the devil is trying to make me sick or accept the sickness that he would bring. This is why we've been learning We fight the good fight of faith by the third slide that we have looked at every time for the last five or six times we've been together. It says, I do this by identifying with Jesus Christ, or getting my identity from Jesus Christ, and with in his triumph over Satan, and with all that salvation has given me. So when I say I'm identifying with Jesus Christ, I'm saying this means, when I say this, I identify with Jesus Christ, I'm saying, once again, whatever's true about Christ is true about me. Whatever belongs to Christ belongs to me. His triumph is my triumph, and I know that how God sees me, hallelujah, I know, rather, this is how God sees me, and this is who God calls me. And the good news is that God sees you and I, he sees both you and I, and calls both you and I in Christ, or in Christ it. And we know that he said that over 130 times in the Pauline epistles to remind us of who we are. I mean, if I stood here and came to you and said 130 times your name to you, when I walked away, you should know who you are. God so vividly painted this picture that of how he sees us and what he calls us, that he repeated it 130 to 180 times. In the Pauline epistles especially, and this is why last week we showed this little piece of paper here, the In Him Scriptures. All of this that can be found in the back at our information table. And I encouraged you to do a study along those lines. Amen. And so let's look at this one moment in Ephesians, because those portions of Scripture tell you all those places that we find how God, you and I being in Christ. And as we look at this today, let's look at another example in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to read it from the Passion Translation and then the Good News Bible. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms has already been lavished upon us. Now, we don't live in heaven. We're here. But the blessings of Christ and of heaven have been lavished upon us right now here in heaven, right here on earth. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to get them. We get them by being in Christ here on this earth. So every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms have already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. Amen. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. That's how he sees us. He sees us wrapped into Christ. That's just saying another way. He sees us in union with Christ. He sees us enfolded into Christ. He sees us wrapped into Christ. That's how he sees us. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Listen, if this don't fire you up, nothing else can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good News Bible says it like this. The GMB says it like this. Let us give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. So in other words, whatever belongs to Christ, whatever is in heaven and whatever belongs to Christ belongs to us. Heaven is the source. God put it all in Christ. We're in Christ. And Christ is in us. And it's through our union with Christ and that we have this new identity. This is why we say we identify with Jesus Christ. We're just saying, hey, whatever's true about him, is true about him, if true about us. Whatever he got, I got. Hallelujah. And now, this is why Philemon 6 Amplified Translation is so important for us to look at and jump off into this week and next week. Amen. So I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote a full recognition, appreciation, understanding, and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Jesus Christ unto His glory. Notice the phrase, every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ. In other words, in our identity. Whatever is true about Christ. In other words, we don't even have our identity anymore. We lose our identity and take Christ's identity. Whatever God sees Him, He sees us. Whatever God says about Him, He says about us. That's good news. In our identification, the knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Notice it says that it's by the, I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote a full recognition, appreciation, and understanding the precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours and identification with Christ unto His glory. Amen. So let's put up, can we put up Philemon 6? In the King James Version, sure we can. I can just turn there real quick as well. So why don't you turn there? So it take you as much time to turn there. You might not have the King James Version, but I do. We can read this together right there as well. Here's what it says in Philemon 1:6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice this, by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to go right there. Remember by the acknowledging of. The word acknowledging is actually the word, the Greek word epinosis, which means the knowledge of. But as you study this out, it is saying it's through our knowledge and what we know of that knowledge and our actual acknowledging of it. This is why it says the sharing of your faith and what we say about it transforms our life. So this is why, listen, this is why 1 Timothy, we're trying to close, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Let's turn there and let's look at this. Where we started, we'll end and we'll add a verse to it. Amen. This is so important. It says that fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called, and have what? Have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Have confessed the good confession. I wonder what good confession it is. It's the fight of faith confession. It's about your identity in Christ. Has to be. Because that's the only fight of faith you have. And that's the only confession of faith that works for you. It's who you are in Christ. And so notice, to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now it gives us an example just in case we forget. In verse 13, look at this. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Notice that's exactly what Jesus did to win over Satan, over all the contrary forces that came against him when he stood trial. What was it? Who witnessed a good confession. What did he say? I am the Son of God. I am. He said who he was. And you know what? That was his stand of faith. That's how he won. You know, that's how you and I are going to win. This is what this is saying. This is what he, matter of fact, he told Pilate something that blows our mind. We just read it and just kind of look over it because we don't maybe understand it. He says, or he said it like this. He says, no man takes the life from me. Only I lay down my life. In other words, There was no power on this earth so great as him. Him surrendering was an act of obedience to Almighty God so that we could have everything that God had in Christ. And it took him surrendering his will because he was so powerful. He said, he said in the garden, he said to his disciples, I could have 12 legions of angels to come and rescue me. He said, no man takes my life from me. Pilate, nobody else sees, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. And the life I lay down, the Father's given me power to take it back up again. But it was his good confession before Pilate that caused him to win. And you know what it's going to be? Us, every day and day in and day, it's going to be our good confession. This is why, let's look at this, and we'll close with this today. Slide six. Slide six, which you haven't seen. Here we go. I lay hold on. I possess everything willed by God in salvation by my continued confession of faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is so good because it is so true. Hallelujah. I said because it is so true. Hallelujah. So when we read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, which we're going to read again. Here we're going to read it again, and then we're going to put this slide up again. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Notice the phrase now, lay hold on eternal life. Take, possess eternal life. That's what the word lay hold means. It means take or possess the eternal life that's already yours. Take what belongs to you in Christ, hold it on, hold on to your salvation, and never let it go. And matter of fact, hold on to everything that salvation gives you and eternal life gives you and never let it go. Just the same way you hold on to your salvation, you would never let that go. People let go of healing all the time, though. People let go of righteousness all the time, though. People let go of their confession of faith all the time. They might not turn. You've been trained well enough not to let go of your salvation. But this says that we're to lay hold on eternal life, which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This laying hold on eternal life is laying hold of everything that eternal life possesses. Not just salvation, but everything that's been willed by it. Verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Jesus Christ. Slide 6. I lay hold on, have possessed everything willed by God in salvation by my continued confession of faith in Christ Jesus. That's how I lay hold on it, by my confession. So when we come back next week, we're going to talk 1 week about I'm going to take 1 week to talk about what I thought this whole series was going to be about. I thought it was going to be about your confession of faith in Christ Jesus, but it's actually been about our identification with Christ. Because by understanding our identification with Christ, then it puts a whole new light on our confession of Christ, our confession of who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. And it makes sense now that is how we fight the good fight of faith and how we have the stand of faith by a continual confession of faith. By the acknowledging of our identification with Christ. And now when you understand your identification with Christ, it makes sense that not only your confession, but what your confession is and what it actually is doing and what it means. And our or my confession of faith is centered around three things. It's centered around who we have become in Christ's identity, what we now possess in Christ's inheritance, and what we can do now because we're in Christ. In other words, we have power and authority to live this new life. Can I get an amen? So in Christ, so this is Healing Center today. In Christ, you are the healed. See yourself as the healed. See yourself, you don't have a problem saying I'm a new creature. Why you have a problem saying that you're the healed of the Lord? You shouldn't. Why do you have a problem saying you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Unless our mind has not been renewed to that fact. See, we've been used to say, well, I know I'm saved. But what I'm saying to you, you've got to get your identification in Christ so rooted and grounded in you. Nobody may be able to talk you out of your salvation, but nobody should be able to talk you out of your healing, out of your identical righteousness, out of your identical triumph, out of your identical victory. And you say, well, Pastor Chris, I've got all this that comes against me. Well, what are you supposed to do? Get back into your place in Christ. Stop crawling out of it and being who you used to be or trying to get in who you really are. You're not trying to get in that person. You are in Christ. And fight from the victory, not for it. Fight with it, not to get it. And when you do that, then you will see that the same, you'll see your circumstance and your situation change speedily. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's begin by lifting our hands to Christ and thanking Him that we're in Him today. Lord, we thank You today right now that we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ as He is, so are we in this world. What He is, that we also in this world. Hallelujah. As standing in this world is identical with Christ. And we identify ourselves completely with Christ. So Lord, we thank You that today we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We boldly say we are saved. Say it with me. I boldly confess I am saved. I am a new creature in Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank You, Lord, because I'm in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because I am in Christ, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank You, because I'm in Christ, You always cause me to triumph. I always have the victory. What You say about Christ, what You see about Christ, is true about me. And today I identify myself. I am saying, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I have been joined to Christ. I have been joined in the Spirit and at the Spirit with Christ. And I'm one with Christ in a spiritual union and communion. And because of it, because of my identification with Christ, because of this new union, communion, because of my new identity with Christ, I have victory. And I only fight, I only stand, I make my bold confession that I am new, that I am healed, I am who You say I am. I have what You say I have. And I can do what You say I can do. Because I'm in Christ. I thank You for it now. In Jesus' name. Satan, I serve You notice. You have nothing in me. And no power over me. Sin, sickness, Satan, disease. Has nothing in me. And no power over me. It's not in me, for I'm in Christ, and whatever's in Christ is in me. So I resist and put a resisting effect on everything that's come against me that's not willed by God. And sickness is not willed by God. So I stand against it. I said, lead me now. In Jesus' name, I take authority over you. I speak to my mind. I call myself having the mind of Christ. I say I have the mind of Christ. I say I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And because I do, I stand in the victory through and through. Thank you that it's mine now. In Christ, I have it. In Jesus' name. Now let's just lift our voices and thank God that that's true. Lord, help each person work this out. Help them to work it out. This is what it's called, working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. That what's positionally true becomes experientially true. Lord God, in every life, worked out, hallelujah, from that place in Christ. Thank you for helping each one to see it so they can be it. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it now, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we sure do thank you today. Thank you online for being with us.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.